It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, this is Nathan, a.k.a. the Amethyst Dragon from the world of Aenea and, well, everywhere else in Neverwinter.
And this is Thomas from NeverendingNights.com.
Hey, this is Aaron, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
This is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and Neverwinter Nights Podcast. And you're listening to the 171st episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the upcoming MMO by Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, here we are back again. It's been a little while since our last episode. It's been about a month or so. Took a little extended break.
Yeah, we're lazy.
Yeah, and Ben's been trying to sell his house. You know, that's been fun. And
I sell shrimp out of a van.
That's interesting. I like that.
I'm guessing you're not a fan of Ron White.
No, but it's okay. Interesting though, nonetheless. But yeah, we have an episode tonight. We got the Amethyst Dragon coming on. Talk
not
about
not just any Amethyst Dragon, but
no,
the Amethyst Dragon,
legendary. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of different stuff and some updates on all of his works and, you know, vast amounts of work in Neverwinter Nights 1 and his website. And also, we're going to have Thomas Logards from Neverending Nights in the Darktide animatronic series. And they're going to be coming on and giving the updates on, well, first, Neverending Nights. Tom just rolled out the last episode of the whole series. And he's going to be coming on to talk about that and possible future endeavors. Tonight we're going to start off talking about some Cryptic news that's going on with the Neverwinter project and the MMO that's coming up later this year. I don't know, many of you probably have already seen that they're going to have a closed beta, closed/open beta coming up very shortly here, where you can buy into the Foundry Pack, the Founders Pack they call it, where you get special mounts, you can play as Drizzt and all kind of cool stuff. It's more of like an encapsulated Kickstarter program for just to, you know, so you can get the, you know, you buy in to get extra features in the game that other people won't have access to. But it's only for, like, believe the first 7 or 14 days of beta, and then after that, I believe it's going to be open. But, you know, don't quote me on that. Check their forum and their content on their website. They've been posting stuff pretty regularly and sending out press releases and whatnot. Also, on a Neverwinter front, we're going to be interviewing, hopefully, the CEO of Cryptic and the executive producer of Neverwinter, and they're going to be trying to schedule something with us here very shortly. So on top of that, another housekeeping item before we get into the news is that next episode, episode 172, we're going to be interviewing the guys from a new Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world called Tales of Am. They're going to be coming on the show and talking about their new popular persistent world. I mean, just looking at some of the numbers and everything, it's pretty amazing. They've been holding about 30 people on at a time, hell, blowing us out of the water. And, you know, I definitely want to talk to them guys and see what they're doing different and, you know, how they're breaking ground in an environment which has been pretty hard to break ground in due to Baldur's Gate and other, you know, really mostly just Baldur's Gate sucking up all the players. So I think it's amazing that these guys really put something serious business out there that's, you know, it's only in beta right now and it's already getting 30 plus people on all the time. So that's very promising for Neverwinter community. It's some variation and also showing that it is possible with the right, you know, setup and the right ideas to, you know, to bring new players into Neverwinter Nights 2 multiplayer, and the fact that you can actually, you know, build the community up, and that's what we're looking for. You know, some variation. So, any other thoughts there, Ben, on that subject?
Not overly.
Okay. All right. Well,
you kind of covered it all.
I have a tendency of doing that, I guess.
Brian, well, have a tendency to cover everything? No.
No. Nope. 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 All right. Well, anyhow, getting into the news. I'm going to start off with Neverwinter Nights 2 this time, and Ben's going to take Neverwinter Nights 1. For Neverwinter Nights 2, there's a new module. Actually, it's a piece of a new module the latest chapter. It's called Crystal Mist Campaign Chapter 3, The Sangoon Heal by Psychlords. It's a single-player mod. It's another classic AD&D PNP adventure, first published in White Dwarf number 65 back in 1985, Back to the Future, and written by Graham Drysdale, now converted for MWM2. Many years ago, a legendary hero named Askatha and his band of warriors defeated a tribe of fierce Sangoon that gave Archipelago its name. Now something is once again attacking. This is Chapter 3. There are two other chapters previous, as is indicated by the title. And I would recommend anybody who is looking for an NWN2 module to check out, especially one that's, you know, that big as this one is and being broken up into special chapters. I think that you want to take a look at it. It looks pretty good.
So in the world of Neverwinter Nights 1 modules, the first module is Eye of the Beholder by Dick Dark Francis, the BioWare World Design Contest. And the plot line of this one is, once again, evil is stirring throughout the land. We are summoned by Kelben Blackstaff, the Archmage of Waterdeep. He suspects that evil has taken over the Temple Darkmoon. Before contacting you, he has sent his trusted scout Amber to investigate, but she has disappeared and has not been heard from in 3 days. He then states, hello and welcome. Yes, he's been working on Eye of the Beholder. Nice. So, something worth looking to. The next one is Ravenloft by Rokushima Taiwan by Red Sun 1985. It's a horror survival horror story. The Roshikima Taiyo Islands are dying, while the Samurai Islands of Lord Shimippi's four sons fight for absolute power. Ninja and Yakuza plot from the shadows, and towns and villages alike are being overwhelmed by the anarchy. When you decide to go on board of the ship in which you cross the Mists of Ravenloft, you had no idea was weighing you over the sea. So another one worth looking into in the world of Neverwinter Nights 1.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we've talked about this over the years now that we've been doing the podcast, time flies. But there's been a lot of modules, you know, classic modules that have been reworked over the years and, you know, converted to electronic medium into Neverwinter Nights 1 and or 2. And I'll tell you what, it's really good for people to get more value out of their game. And plus, as I said before, I think there's an element of there's a special element to these games, that these modules that haven't really been replicated, you know, in more modern works. I don't know what it is, more gritty, or I'm not exactly sure what. Maybe it's just being nostalgic or whatever. But I definitely feel that there is a lot of value in going back to some of these old publications and taking a look and another second look at the stories, because there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think, I don't know, Craig, you, let me know what you think, but I think that it's more of it was the early years of the genre, you know, like from 75 to 85, you know, like where things were all pretty new still. And I think that's probably what gives you that feel on them.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is a big thing that always seems to reoccur through various points is when you go back to the roots, as it were, you tend to get things that your people resonate with a little bit better, or the storytelling's a little bit, not just easier, but more developed, just because you have a strong starting point, as opposed to I'm trying to create something completely new in a world that's already been modified so heavily that it's hard to come up with something that is truly new.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that totally. That's a very good thought. Yep, that explains. That's kind of what I've been thinking too, but not that eloquently stated though. But yeah,
that's
awesome.
What I do.
It is what you do. And awkward pauses. Those are also.
Yeah, but those are a little harder to play.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And here's a series of A. Rowan's awkward pauses.
We have to do that
15
for,
minutes of silence.
Episode 200 at the end. Like, why is there just 10 minutes of padding? Like 15 seconds of silence and then me going, Ben. At the end. Well, with that, we're going to close out the news. I think we covered just about everything out there. I know there's been some new drops in on the IGN Vault, but we covered the modules this time, and we'll focus more on the miscellaneous builder type submissions soon. So with that, we're going to get started and with our interviews. Stay tuned. Well, we got the legendary Thomas Logue back. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you very much for having me back again.
No problem. Back-to-back episodes, which I think may be a first.
A first. I was about to say, it's been so long.
Yeah, it has been. We took a little hiatus from Christmas until now, so, you know, while that we're recharged, true. Recharged, ready to roll. So, I see you've been busy. You actually did it. You finally got episode 65 busted out.
It only took about a year and a half, so I'm very familiar with the hiatus thing.
Yeah. That's not a hiatus. That's a sabbatical.
That's a vacation.
Yes, exactly.
It's a delayed deliverable.
It's to build up the intensity, make everyone forget what happened so that they all go download all the episodes again and watch them all over again and increase viewership. That was the plan.
It is. Hell, even Star Wars took 3 years episode to come out. I mean, come on, you know? Come on.
You're talking about the old ones.
Well, yeah, whatever. So anyhow, it's awesome. I've actually checked it out, and top notch, as I would have expected. If I was any less, I would have told you try IM first.
You're like, it sucked, but we'll still talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how you.
It's just going to have a different tone.
How you totally George Lucas your own series. I mean, that's what.
Ooh. Oh.
If that's where, if that was the truth, but it's not the truth. So
thank you.
Come for the interviews, they stay for the curb stomping.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what. Let's first let you know. Can you tell the audience? And I know that you've been on the show talking about Neverending Nights multiple times, but for people who are listening to this episode, what Neverending Nights is?
So essentially, Neverending Nights is a machinima series, which is basically using an existing environment to create your own story. You know, some people just do like a one little episode thing. Some people do a big long skit. The most popular machinima series out there, of course, is Red versus Blue. Everyone at the time when we started the idea of wanting to do our own machinima was using Halo. So we're like, well, you know, I don't want to use Halo because you're just going to be just another person using Halo making a machinima. And we were already playing Neverwinter Nights, and I said, you know, they have their own tool set. You know, you can build the whole world. You can customize characters. You're not limited to what Halo is giving you. So we started building it, started messing around with it, and we eventually started tweaking it, finding a way to make it work. And so in the end, we ended up telling 65 episodes worth of a story about two guys who think it's going to be really easy just to go out and kill a dragon and become rich and famous. 65 episodes later, that's not what happens. They go on a long quest, save a woman, you know, start a war, all this nonsense. So, yeah.
And I'll say this from the outside perspective. I mean, I think that that's what it's one of the things that I think drew me to the series is the way you told the story. I mean, the way you people always want more. You know, you watch an episode and you're like, damn, it's funny. B, it's entertaining. C, it's extremely well done. And D, you always want to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and that's something we always try to hope for. Like, we try to make each episode, you know, like, center on, like, one part of the story and kind of be funny, hopefully. And hopefully make people want to say, hey, that was actually pretty well done. That was pretty cool. I want to see the next one. Granted, I think the first 10 episodes that we did, we were just learning how to do machinima, and I think the first 10 episodes are kind of rough. So anyone who watches it now, I hope they don't judge us on that first 10 and make it to the 11th episode, which is like almost everyone's favorite episode because of the introduction of the goblins.
Yep, yep, yep. Well, I mean, there's always that learning curve, especially when you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do something. I mean, whether it's what you're doing with Neverending Nights or, you know, building a persistent world or a single player module, really don't matter. I think the first things you do are always not going to be what you're doing years later.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean just for the simple fact that you sit down and you're like, oh, I could have done it this way.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that was something we did from season one to season two. Like when we did season one, we wrote each episode out and then voiced it. Then we wrote the next episode and voiced it. We wrote the next episode and voiced it. And what would happen is sometimes we would write it with the intention of having like one of our friends do one of the voices, but they wouldn't be available for like 2 weeks. So then now we're stuck. you know, waiting for them to be available because the episode is specifically written for them.
Right.
Every character who is in there, like when you meet Alan the Astounding, Poppy the Salt Vendor, Amy the Armor, all their characters are based off the real person. Like the story of Alan always passing out drunk has to do when a bunch of us were on a cruise and he had tried to outdrink me, which was a foolish move. And we were walking away, like, you know, we were extremely drunk, but we were walking on the ship and just mid-stride, he passed out. Just he ceased moving and just fell over. So when we wrote the episode, I said, this is what I want to base his character on. I want to base it on this event and just make him this really drunk halfling that's always drunk. So it's not like we could have anyone else fill that role because it was specific to Chad, you know?
So oh, yeah.
When we did season two, I said, I don't want to do that again because there were times where we're just waiting 2-3 weeks to get lines from people. So what I did is I wrote the whole, like I took over writing all of season two. And I just wrote it all in one, you know, big foul swoop, had a barbecue and invited everyone who was doing a voiceover. And we voiced while we had the barbecue.
Wow.
Icky, I like it.
Yeah. So that was the quick way to do it. I said, I got food. And by the way, while you're here, please speak into the microphone and read these lines.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Please talk into the flower on my shirt.
Yes, please. I'm leaning forward for a reason.
Well, hopefully.
Wow, there's an opening you can drive a truck through.
Once again, just a pun.
It never takes long for things to go downhill.
No, not with them talking to us. Nope. So anyhow, that's awesome. Now, you've got three seasons. You broke it up into three seasons.
Yes.
When was the first episode posted? Do you remember the date?
I don't remember the exact date, but it was in November of 2004.
Holy crap.
Yeah. 2004, and I just did the last one, January 17th.
Well, I mean, that's what we call dedication.
Yeah. And the thing is, so when I finished it, you know, I posted the last episode, and I know I held off. I know because I didn't want to finish it, because once I was done, I love doing Neverending Nights. Like, I love the world we created, all the characters we've made. And I know I held off kind of like that parent who doesn't want to let his kid go to college. I was like, no, you can't leave yet. You know, I don't want you to go yet. And so when I finished it and I put the episode out there, it's like, I'm done. You know, that's it. And like 3 days later, I was like, I'm not done. I'm going to go back in. I just started updating all the character profiles because I have almost all the characters that have appeared in the series on the website. They have like a little profile, like where they were born, like what episode they first appeared in, and like a little biography of their history. And all of them were really brief. Like the one for Dean the Dragon just said his secret is yet to be untold. And now it's like, I don't know, 3 pages long if you go read his profile now. So I've been going back and expanding on all of the characters because I'm not ready to let go yet.
I mean, that's really cool, man. And you know, the other thing, too, is like on your website, I mean, you do have like a total bio, like a lot of the characters in the story. I mean, it's, you know, just people who want to get more information, you know, the website, NeverEndingNights.com, is just chock full.
Yes.
It is. It's hilarious, too. I mean, there's all kinds of different posts on there. You have the forums. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff, like when I expanded on the profiles, like NeverEnding Nights is full of references to different books and movies and TV shows that, you know, have been a big influence on us. Like, there's probably maybe 100 references to Star Wars if you listen closely. And even when I was doing the profiles and updating them, like when I did Peter's profile, like his mother leaves, like Peter doesn't know who his father is because that secret is revealed in the series. And she's talking to Peter's uncle and she says something along the lines of, you know, he's not like a farmer anymore, blah, 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 blah. He's got too much of his father in him. And it's a line straight out of Star Wars, you know, that he's not a farmer anymore. He's got too much of his father in him. That's what I'm afraid of. It's a reference to Luke. So there's all kinds of like little references to Star Wars and Dragonlance and everything in those books. And The Hobbit is in there. So if you read that stuff and look closely, you'll see a bunch of random stuff where you're like, hey.
It's kind of like the Supernatural of Neverwinter Nights.
It is. It yeah. really is. And I love Supernatural. And a matter of fact, speaking of Supernatural, a nice segue.
Yes.
I just posted originally at the very end within episode 65, there was supposed to be a scene where Peter walks out of the bar of destiny and bumps into his father and, you know, talks briefly to his father, blah, 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 blah. And if you've watched the end of 65, Peter leaves with some people. And if I was going to do the credits and then have Peter's father show up and talk to Grayson and say, Peter's been gone on a hunting trip and he's been gone for a while, which is a reference to the opening of Supernatural, because that's how Supernatural starts. So just another reference that is in NEN. So I just posted that segment on the website. Since it wasn't actually used, I actually posted the script on the website just recently.
Yeah, I was just reading that, as a matter of fact.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. Absolutely. The other thing, too, is, you know, when we're talking about the closing, I mean, what can you say without giving away too much stuff, obviously? You want people to watch the episode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are some of the things that you, when you were doing this, that last episode, you sat down and you're like, man, I can't wait for people to check this out. Like, where are some of the things that you incorporated into the last episode that you really stood out to you?
I think the biggest moment for me actually happens in episode 64, which is the previous episode, because episode 65 is more of an epilogue. You know, everyone is kind of like at their happy place. You know, everything's being wrapped up for everyone. But it was in 64 where something happens to one of the main characters, and it seems like the bad guys have won. There's no way they're going to win. And then one of the other characters remembers something and turns the battle around. And then if you read the profile, you'll see that said character says the other character is the hero, and you know he did everything, da 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 da. So, I mean, that was the big thing for me, to show that Peter had done something and gave the credit to Grayson.
Nice.
You know, just nice. To be that good friend that, you know, even though something happened to Grayson, I won't say what happened, but something happens to him, that Peter still does something and says, hey, you know what? You were the one who saved the day. You were the hero.
I like that. That's cool. And the fact you didn't spoil the whole episode.
I tried not to. How more vague I could be.
That was skillfully done. That was good. Skillfulness. 33 skill points.
Thank
check,
you.
Check.
Level up.
Level up. We're in game.
Wow.
Yeah. See how I did that? Rolled it all right back.
Yeah. Looking at everything, I mean, when you think about, like, the whole series, okay, going back from episode 1 all the way to 65, like, it's taken 9 years, you know, this is the 9th year for it,
yep,
being 2004 and all, and what, like, over these years, what kind of stuff stuck out to you as, like, as far as responses from community at large or just a general internet community of people who may not necessarily Neverwinter Nights players gave to you about your about the Neverending Night series?
So the cool thing was, when I started doing Neverending Nights, like, when we were only in our fifth episode, I wouldn't say I was cocky, but I was really eager. So I went around and I got a hold of the people on the BioWare site. Like, I dug up all their contact info and, you know, emailed them and said, hey, this is what we're doing. I just want to make sure we're not breaking any kind of law if we do this. I don't want to be any copyright infringement, nothing like that. Jay, whose last name I cannot pronounce, but you might know who it is, Jay Whitaker, whatever, from the Neverwinter Nights community.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
He wrote back and said, you know what, I just watched the first 5 episodes and love it. By all means, keep doing it. And I thought, you know, that's someone who works at BioWare who just gave us a thumbs up. And I was, like, blown away. And then, you know, like, we just finished the 5th episode, and then, like, PC Gamer got a hold of us and said, hey, we want to put your first 5 episodes on a cover disc and do, like, a little write-up in the magazine. And I was like, what? Like, it just blew my mind that it was only in the 5th episode. And like I said, the first 10, I don't even like all that much, except they're really important because they set up the whole story. But the way that it was filmed and the recording that we did, the quality was not good. And yet, it was getting a really good reception just from, like, BioWare and then PC Gamer. And then I just started posting it everywhere. Like, I literally Googled RPG Forum, and I went onto forums and said, hey, you know, this is this thing I'm doing. And it was a really positive response. And, you know, some of the people had never played Neverwinter and would ask, you know, well, how are you doing this? Like, I don't, you know, like, are you doing the graphics? And I'd be like, no, it's BioWare's game. You know, here's a link to Neverwinter Nights.
That's nice.
So it was a really positive experience overall in the beginning.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, especially when you get that unexpected official / unofficial response from game creators themselves. I mean, it's kind of funny, though, because when we were we've been alpha testing. I think you've seen the post for Neverwinter. And I was sniffing around, and it was funny. They had one of their first side quests in the game. They had was called the Cloak Tower, and I'm like, are you serious? That's our very first quest in Realms of Trinity is the Cloak Tower. It's been since 2008. That's what I mean. That's one of the places you go to. It's the very first place, a tower in Trinity Town Center that you have to investigate some problems. And I seen that and I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish somebody had said something to me, but
I bet they were just putting it in there to see if you'd see it and see, you know, wait for the reaction. Cause that's awesome when they do stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, but I know how you feel though. When you get something like that, it's like, oh, that's pretty cool, man. You don't think of it at first, you know,
yeah.
But down the road you do, you know, you say, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, starting in 2004 when we first started this, I honestly didn't think we were going to make it past 10 episodes. I thought, we'll probably get bored of it. It's kind of tough to do at first, you know. I don't think we're going to make it past 10. And now, you know, I made it all the way to episode 65, like 9 years later. Like, somewhere between episode 10 and 15, like, I just fell in love with the characters. It stopped being about, like, I just want to make a little fun movie. I actually fell in love with the characters. Like, I was looking forward to writing and voicing and doing this just because I wanted to see what we were doing next.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it's a great creative endeavor, so, I mean.
Yeah, and then, I mean, just, like, so much happened. Like I said, you know, like the BioWare thing, the PC Gamer thing, and then the folks for Obsidian got a hold of us and said, we want you to do promos for Neverwinter Nights 2, and then gave us, like, alpha copies of Neverwinter Nights 2 way back in the day, and we made Neverending Days, which were 5 little short episodes. Most of them just each stood on their own. You know what I mean? Kind of like a Bugs Bunny episode, like where if someone died in one episode, the next episode, hey, they're fine. They got better.
So what was one of your favorite moments while you were doing all of these various episodes?
Like favorite moment, like within an episode or like favorite moment overall?
Within them, making them.
I would have to say probably one of my favorite moments. If you exclude the fact that when after season 2 and season 3, you know, I did it with making, you know, I'd write the whole season out and then hang out with everyone that was close to me. You know, it was all my friends that I was pulling into this and having them do voices for me. So I loved that part, you know, being able to share part of my creativity and bring them into it, have them have fun with it as well. Because I would have a script and say, here's the general thing of what I want you to say. This is point A, point B. How you say it, if you want to improv, by all means, do it. And I just wanted everyone to have fun with it. You know, I just needed to kind of get the main thing of what I wanted them to say, but improv how you want. You want to throw a funny accent in there? Do it. I don't care. Just have fun with it. So that was probably one of my favorite things, just being able to hang around so many people that I enjoy being around in the first place. But I think the big, big thing for me was also getting Al Lowe, he created Leisure Suit Larry. Total child icon of mine. Like, I live and breathe Leisure Suit Larry back in the day from Sierra. I even run LarryLaffer.net, which is a big fan site for Leisure Suit Larry. So having him do a voice for one of the episodes was amazing. Like when I heard his take and, you know, he said, this is Al Lowe doing Neverending Nights. It was shivers. Like I was like, I can't believe I got this dude who is my childhood idol to do a voice for me. And then I was like, well, I wonder if I can get Greg Johnson, who he created Toe Jam and Earl, which is a game for Sega system.
Oh, yeah, that's old classic.
Yeah, old classic. I love Toe Jam and Earl. Like, my friend Chuck and Tammy, they introduced me to Toe Jam and Earl, and, like, I would not stop playing that game because it was so freaking hilarious. So then I got a hold of Greg Johnson and said, hey, this is, like, a series I'm doing, you know, as a kid. You totally influenced me with your zany kind of humor. I would love if you did a voice. And he agreed. So it was back-to-back 2 episodes that they agreed to do voices for. Because those episodes were just filler episodes. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get them, so I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. But so when they both agreed to do it, I mean, having like a childhood icon do voices for my series, it blew me away. It just blew me away. So I think that's probably my top favorite moment.
Cool. So how hard of it was... How hard of a sell was it to get your friends in to be voice actors?
Some of them were pretty good at it. Like, some of them are natural. Like I said, you know what? Do a couple of reads. Kind of get a feel for your character. You know, this is kind of the general idea of what I have for them. This is the joke that we're running with them. Some of them were, you know, were able to pick it up and just create, like, a personality for the character and just do it right off the bat. And there were some people who read really, really stiff, you know, and I was like, I don't care. You know, I'm not making money. This isn't anything professional. They're kind of stiff reading it. I don't care. As long as they're doing it and they're still having fun with it, I don't care.
You might want to qualify that statement. You know, once again.
Yeah, sorry.
It's going to be so hard to sell the next. No, please come on our show. Listen. On second thought, don't listen to a few episodes.
Yeah, don't listen to the stiff part. He's totally not talking about that, I swear.
Yep. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I figured I'd get it in.
Oh, no. It's awesome.
That was, you know, something that stuck out to me.
No pun intended.
Absolutely.
That it did,
not.
Brian. Yep.
Anything else there before we get old Amethyst Dragon in here to talk about his stuff?
Oh, no. Yeah. Just, I recently updated the video page for season 1, season 2, season 3. It's now got links to the videos, it's got links to YouTube, and it's got links to it on Facebook. And I have it on Vimeo also, so I'll be adding those links. So however people want to watch it, whether you want to download it and get a copy of it, or if you just want to watch it on YouTube because it's easier, there's many ways to watch Neverending Nights, and I hope anyone who listens to this who hasn't watched it or has already watched it goes and watches it again.
Yep, it's definitely a classic that, you know, you definitely want to check out, and if you haven't seen it, and you might say to yourself, well, I'll get around to it. No, you need to get off your butt, get to neverendingnights.com and start clicking around and checking some of these things out. You're on YouTube too, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's
YouTube,
what I thought.
Facebook, downloads.
Yep, you definitely want to get in there. We'll have a link in our show notes as well for this episode and on a Facebook page whenever we go ahead and post it. So definitely check it out. And Thomas, you want to stick around for the next interview?
Of course, let's do it.
Well, tonight we have another special guest, the Amethyst Dragon from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community. He's done just about everything in Neverwinter Nights. Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Glad to have you back on the show. I mean, we've had you on several times now, and it's always been a pleasure and talking about all your great work.
No, it's only been about a year.
Yeah, it's, you know, time flies when you're having fun, though. So we say here a lot, you know, with all the different stuff we got going on. But yeah, I'm glad to have you come back on. You've been extremely busy. We've been looking at a lot of the work that you've been pumping out lately and on the vault, and we've should. Featuring it on a lot of our news segment episodes and, you know, talking about, you know, all the stuff that she's doing. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight, one of the topics that we talk about here on the podcast a lot is the custom content challenge. And to get started, you know, can you tell the audience that may not know what the custom content challenge is and, you know, a little bit more about it?
Sure. It started out in the custom content forum on the Bioware social network for Neverwinter 1. Can't remember the name who started it. It's in the first post in the thread for it. I'll look it up some other time. But anyway, basically the idea is for people to make new stuff for module builders to use. It could be 3D models. We've kind of expanded it to models, scripts, prefabs, sounds, pretty much anything that would be new that builders could use. It's not really a contest, but we keep the name challenge in it because we're kind of like, you know, challenging each other to improve our skills or just come up with new imaginative stuff. And there's a different theme that gets picked by poll every month. This particular month, we're doing spells and spell crafting. That wraps up today, the 31st. Looking like next month is going to be plants. So all sort of plant placeables, creatures, spells, whatever the community comes up with that they want to make, they can try it. Yeah, and so there's a different theme every month. You can usually download everything. I'm still a little bit behind on posting. I think it's July or August. It's some steampunk stuff that we only got 2 entries in, but I'll get that up soon.
Steampunk.
yeah. So let's see. Who is it? I think Spirited Last took it over for a while, and then after that it was Rollo Kip, and then he had real-life issues that kept him off the internet for like a month and a half, 2 months, so I just kind of went, okay, I'll start the thread and the poll, and if he comes back, he can take it over again. And he came back, and I'm like, oh, I'll just keep doing it, whatever.
yeah, I mean, Well, what you end up finding out is that whenever you really want something to get done, I mean, sometimes that's what it ends up being. You mean you just got to get it done. I mean,
it's hard. And I just did it because I'm like, oh, I just wanted to keep going. I've been having fun with it, and I know other people have been, so I can start a thread and throw things together into a 7-zip file at the end of the month or whatever. It's a little bit more work than that, but not that much more. The hardest part is, I call it, it's like herding cats. getting everybody to get stuff in, and well, I know it's real life comes first, so eventually everything does come in and we get it up on the vault and everybody loves it and likes it, and so we make more the next month.
Yeah, I think that something that stands out to me, and I honestly can't believe how much people were making continuously and how you've organized it with the custom content challenge in the Neverwinter Nights 1 community, because Neverwinter Nights 2, there is nothing of the sort. I mean, zero. Anything like that. I mean, you get little bits and pieces now and again, but you don't have any kind of coordination or stuff put together.
I think part of it is Neverwinter 1 is a little more entry level, so it's a little easier to get started. Like with the tool set, it doesn't take as much practice to get the hang of, and like even the 3D models aren't as quite as necessarily the quality that you find in Neverwinter 2. Well, from some people they definitely are, but I started out just retexturing stuff, so that was my entry into custom content. So, and the challenge is, we welcome newcomers too. You know what? Something brand new. If you don't know how to do it, ask. We'll help you when we can. It's part of a challenge for the rest of the community too, to just keep going and make new stuff. That's what we want, is new stuff.
Yep. Well, that's part of getting continuing on the legacy, really. I mean, the legacy, why the community's still around, is because of custom content in one form or another.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have the custom content. Yeah, you can still build modules. Yeah, you can still build persistent worlds and different things like that. But, at some point, it kind of limits their ability to tell their story.
Yeah, if everything looks the same, then, it's going to get old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you log in somewhere else or you download another module and it's okay. It's nothing stands out to me as being, unique or special, So absolutely. No game would last like that if you didn't have that capability.
There's an awful lot you can do with storytelling and using the existing resources, but eventually stuff will start to look the same.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling in other people's stuff from the vault into my persistent world when I was first building it, and it wasn't even online yet. And I was just amazed at what people had done. I'm like, I could never do anything like that. Oh, I still, texturing is not my strong suit, like texturing creatures, and I've barely touched anything with tile sets. But everything else, I pretty much taught myself, just because I wanted something and it wasn't out there. And, you can ask people to make stuff, but it may take 6 months.
Yeah.
So if you learn how to make it yourself, even if it's not the best quality, it's still something different, something unique to your own module.
Right. Right, absolutely. Well, plus you're gaining a valuable skill, too.
Oh, yeah, and then you can share that skill with everybody else once you're, even if you're not coming, you say, hey, I made this. You want to try it out?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've been doing. You've been pumping out all the different weapon packs, armor packs, God only knows what, all the stuff you've done. I mean, exactly that. And one of the other things that stands out to me that you did before was that when you were telling me about them spells that you added, like that one that carries the gear and stuff.
Tensor's Floating Disc.
Yeah, Tensor's Floating Disc, that's it. And, like just something like that even. I mean, that's just so cool that, I don't know.
Well, it had been such a tragedy for all these wizards to have to lug their own stuff around or drag around a meat shield to carry their stuff.
Yep.
So that was actually my first creature model, and it was super complicated. It was a cylinder with a flat texture. I didn't even animate it. I just found a creature that had similar animations of just moving around with actually taking steps, and got the model to copy that animation of just moving around. That was it.
Yeah,
but hey, it's a classic spell. People liked it, so
like it. I like the idea totally.
So, out of curiosity, when you're doing the custom content challenges, is there anything special that you guys use to pick the quote-unquote winners?
We don't actually have a winner. It's just whoever sends stuff in, we like. We call them, I guess we could call them winners. Their stuff gets included and uploaded to the vault with the rest of it.
Yeah.
That way it's
perhaps not highlighted is better than winners, but...
Not even that. It's all listed. It's all included. From beginner stuff to people who've been doing it for years, the challenge is more to just make something new. Think of something that hasn't been made yet, or think of something that has been made and make it different.
See, and that's neat as well, because I'll admit, and probably there's a lot of our people who've listened to the podcast or looked online, they were probably thinking, gee, these couple ones that get listed, those must have been the best of them, and nobody else gets credit. So it's kind of neat to learn that, no, everybody gets credit, everybody gets mentioned.
Mm-hmm. It all gets included, everybody's name gets mentioned on the Vault listings, and kind of listing what they put in. There's some months where some people put in a ton of stuff for one theme and then they don't do anything the next month, but we keep getting new stuff and we're getting some new people in every once in a while, so it's great.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else have I been working on? I have been making my own custom content stuff. I still got my persistent world that's been going for 6.5 years now. It'll be 7 in June, so I still make stuff for that when I have need of it. I got a bug fix, a thing. I made some internal workings for a flour mill, but evidently it's not working right, so I got to bug fix that. But yeah, anytime I need something little, I make it. And since I update my hacks like between every 2 weeks to 2 months, I throw it in.
Cool.
So, I mean, how's your server population going?
Server population, I've gotten a few new players recently that I would call regulars, like people that have put in dozens of hours already, which I'm kind of surprised at.
Nice.
I don't get to play anywhere near as much as I'd like to, but that's because, you know, I have 4 kids, plus I'm doing all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to actually get a lot of playtime in when you're spending your free time actually developing content and or, like you said, bug fixes or whatever to support your persistent world. I mean, it's definitely a full-time job itself, especially...
Yeah, I still find bugs that people reported like a couple years ago, and I'm like, oh, now I get it. I can fix that, and 5 minutes later it's fixed. Absolutely. Even though it's been sitting on my list for, 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes you just get that little, little brainstorm and go, oh, I got it, fixed, done, out the door, off my 2-page list on my forum.
Are you working on it solely yourself, or do you have actual staff who help you out with it?
Oh, I have some DMs that help me out, but as far as building and everything, that's all me.
Gotcha.
I keep everything kind of literally in-house. Even my server is in a closet downstairs.
Well, same here. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, and I've got so many scripts that tie themselves in knots together and systems and stuff that it's like if somebody else touched it, I wouldn't know where to look to fix it.
Right. That is
players that have sent in areas. A long time ago, I added a demonic realm, and a lot of that is player-built areas that I then import and mess around with them and get them to work together. And I've got another player who's working on like a section of forest right now. I don't know when she'll get that in, but she's been sending me screenshots in the tool set, and it's looking nice. So, but mostly 99.5% is, you'll see, this stuff is mine. I get a lot of ideas from players, though. Thousands of posts in the suggestions section on my forum, and every once in a while I'll go back through and I'll pick that one out and put it in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's actually nice to get the feedback and the ideas, because that does really help you shape your product. Something that, is more, it gives the extra features and stuff you may or may not have thought of yourself too.
Yeah.
It definitely does. The only problem I see, and not with you, but I mean in other places, it's hard to get people to give you that feedback. You know, they'll just be sitting there chugging away and not actually vocalizing or posting, what they think would be something that they'd want to see.
Oh yeah, I welcome suggestions, bug reports, silly links. Like I'd link to that Neverwinter Nights inventory song and then repost it again, because it's been like 1.5 years or 2 years or whatever since I posted that, and I figure I got some of my new players a laugh that I'd never seen that before.
Yep. It's cool though. I mean, having a persistent world in Neverwinter Nights 1 for 6.5 years, I mean, that's just, that's a long time, a lot of work and dedication to it. I've got to tip my hat to you, man. That's a lot of time.
That's my creative outlet. I don't even have a D&D game weekly anymore, which is kind of sad, but it gets me interacting with people, and I can kind of throw out some of my ideas, and I'm not burned out on it, so I might as well keep it going.
Absolutely. Yeah, hell yeah. If you've got players and you're enjoying doing it, there's no reason to take it down, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Got burned out on model making last fall, which was kind of sad, but I had just finished up with a section of my Reforged project with all the weapons.
Yeah.
And just went, oh, I can't open the model software. I can't open GMax for a while. It's just done for a while.
Yeah. Well, I guess at some point
I had just finished the 7th out of 8 parts of the project. Oh. So I'm like, okay, it's in my world. My players get to see that. A month or so go by, I'll throw it on the vault. It actually just went up today. Finally got some screenshots and put it up today so people can download that. That's like the weird ones, the comma, the sickle, the whip, the dart, and the shuriken. All like real odd weapons that don't cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It's 2 HP.
Yeah. Well, that unless you put like plus 50 on everything. And yeah. That might do it. That might give them a little extra beef. But,
it's the shuriken the size of a Chevy Volt.
Yeah, the ones I made are much smaller. If you don't have the improved hand models, there's like a hack out there that changes hand models, actually gives them fingers instead of the fists of doom. If you don't change that, you can hardly see them like sticking out through the character's knuckles.
So yeah, it just looks like Wolverine or something?
Yep.
So they're actually tiny little weapons like they're supposed to be. And then the darts I made bigger, like historical throwing darts. They're about the size of lawn darts.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something. That's the kind of detail you don't... I mean, when you actually sit down and say, hey, I'm gonna do it this way, I'm going to do it right, and have everything pieced together, it's just the end product, just, you see the value, you know, what you put out there.
Yeah.
I've actually
finished all the model making for the project now. I'm working on the icons now for the last of them. I'm doing all the ranged weapons, crossbows, longbows, shortbows, slings. Those are a pain because those are all animated.
Now, how do you do, like, what do you use to do the animations there? Do you have, like, a specific tool, or is that still GMax to do?
That's still GMax, and I don't make any new animations for them. I use the ones that were existing. But a lot of times I'll pull it out into a new model that doesn't show up in the tool set, like, you know, model 000 or whatever.
Okay, I got
instead
you.
Instead of model 1.
Yep.
So I'll include that, but then the individual models don't have to have the animations built into them. So like I got one model for the short bow, one for the long bow, one for the heavy crossbow, one for the light crossbow. Those hold the animations, and the rest of them reference that model.
Nice. Yeah, I mean that's a. I can see how you can get burned out though, yeah. Working on that stuff all the time. I mean, especially because how many models offhand you end up doing in this pack?
Well, not right offhand, but I know that the last package, the ranged weapons, now keep in mind all these aren't going on the vault, some of them are just for my persistent world, but it comes to 705 models.
Oh my dear lord. Wow.
Just between the 5 ranged weapons. Well, it also includes all the ammunition, because I made 3D models for all the arrows and 3D models for all the bolts, with the different colors and stuff, so that I could take screenshots to make new icons. Well, right. Those are just going to stay the way they are, so that on the ground it'll look like a bolt. On the ground it'll look like an arrow.
Uh-huh.
That looks like the icon.
Right.
Sweet.
The bullets I made all new models for, but those are just getting the generic ground model, but it'll actually look like a bag with a little pile of bullets on top. So.
Well, hey, that's all right. You know, I mean.
Well, those would be like rings. Nobody'd ever see the model on the ground. It'd be so small.
Yeah,
the bolts and the arrows are big enough.
Yeah, especially if you got some kind of rough terrain, you know, some grass or, you know, something like that, and you never even see it. Maybe you just be sitting there the whole time.
And then I pulled the animation and added new ones for like the fire and electrical and stuff when they're flying through the air and then they hit the target. Well, now the effects will cover like the whole arrow instead of just a little blob of light on the end. It'll actually look like the arrow's on fire, or the arrow is streaked with lightning the whole way through instead of a little blue and white ball of light.
That's cool. That's really cool. I like that a lot.
So
yeah, that's
I'm pleased
really cool.
with it.
Oh, you definitely should be.
I'm happy to be at the end of the modeling phase of it. I'm not happy that I still have to make icons, because that's 705 icons.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've got screenshots taken for all of them already. I just have to do all the cropping and the layering and the resizing and it's tedious work. It's kind of low on the list after doing all the 3D model stuff. The icons are just like a chore.
That's definitely, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I find whenever I'm doing modifications, like when we did like modify like a couple hundred spells in the game and added like 100 feats
mm-hmm.
to the game. And that was the ass pain right there, going through doing all the TGAs for all the icons for the feats and after you spend all the time programming them and testing them and getting them in and all.
Hey, it works. Oh, I got to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, Same thing. Exact same thing we had to do. So I know exactly what you're saying on that one.
Yeah, but hey, if you want custom content to work nicely and for players to enjoy it seamlessly, you got to do it all.
So I saw you've been doing some work for neverwearnights.com as well.
.info is the community info. Site. Who was it? Shadow or somebody? I don't know. I had the idea for it, and somebody should make this site. And I'm like, okay. So I bought the domain name and whipped up a little template, and nobody else had anything. So I added to it and said, hey, do you like this? And they said, yeah, good job.
Yep.
So well, I kept going on it, and then I started digging into like all the modeling resources and builder references and stuff like that to add to it. I'm like, okay, this is really going to be an info site then. I can do that.
Cool.
So. Well, I definitely think it's something that it definitely helps the game itself out because it's going to have good search engine value. I mean, just because of the name of it in the domain and everything, the keywords, and the fact that you have so much good content on there and how to get people into the game, I think that's huge for Neverwinter Nights.
It's pulling it up, and like, it was really a replacement for the official BioWare site that got taken down because of the hackers.
Right.
And just, you know, never replaced. So now if you follow all the references that are all over the web for Neverwinter Nights to the BioWare site, it really takes you to the BioWare site. The only reference to Neverwinter Nights is one little listing on their legacy games page.
Which is just stupid. I mean,
even link to where you can still buy the game. So I made sure to include the GOG.com link pretty prominently right at the top of the page. Get Neverwinter Nights. Links you right to it.
Yeah, that's definitely huge. That's something we were talking about a while back to do for Neverwinter Nights too, but you know, at the same time, I mean, now that they're selling it on GOG too, they just put it out, and also there's been some stuff going on too with, where they're listing all the Neverwinter Nights 2 servers now online on a new website called nwninfo.com. And you can go out there and you can see, it's just like the old server lobby used to be before they shut it down.
Yeah.
So actually, it's pretty cool. And it's like a step in that direction. I'd like to see it get evolved out to actually what you did, you know, for Neverwinter 2, because what you did is so damn good to get with everything. It just is. I mean, it flat out is. Anybody listening to the podcast, you definitely want to go check out neverwinternights.info. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's a one-stop shop to get you started on Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, like it, share it, throw it up on Reddit, Tumblr, I don't know, wherever you post stuff. Throw us a link.
Yeah, share it with your friends. You know, when we were out in Origins Game Fair and Gen Con, and you know, we did these game fairs. I mean, just the sheer amount of people there that had no idea what Neverwinter Nights was, even one or two or anything. They had no idea about it. It was kind of disturbing because
sad.
Very sad. And just for the fact that the level of darkness was just so high there. Everywhere you look, people were playing, you know, RPGs, you know, some hell, Ben and I went up to, they were holding a D&D pen and paper session. Blizzard of the Coast was there, and they were running this huge, you know, thing in this big ballroom. And they had like, I would say, how many were in there, Ben? A couple hundred?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, easily a couple hundred people in there. And we were walking through, you know, we had all our gear and our shirts and stuff, and we were walking around and, you know, trying to sniff around, get some attention and, you know, talk to some people while we were there. But, like, nobody, they looked at us like we were, you know, like, who the hell are you? What's this? What's that? You know, and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, that to me is like an untapped wealth of people.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Neverwinter and, you know, Neverwinter Nights 2, it's the closest thing you can get to actual Dungeons & Dragons on the computer.
It is. It truly is. And the fact of the moddability. You know, just look at all that you've done to add to the game itself to realize a lot of the stuff that you wanted to see happen.
Yeah, I was a pen and paper DM. Aenea was my custom campaign world. I just brought it into Neverwinter Nights.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, just look at all that you've done, and look at what, if you didn't have the tool set, you didn't have the tools, what the game would have been like. You know, I mean, that's a true D&D, is people coming up with their own, you know, pen and paper campaigns, and, you know, coming up with their ideas and stories, and having DMs, you know, run it. I don't know. It's a great medium, because now you can get in touch with anybody around the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got players from Australia and New Zealand and England, and it's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. Well, you know, in closing, you got any final words on anything that you want to get out there?
Yeah, if you happen to be a module builder and you need help, there's a new thing that is getting started in February. There's a module builders challenge, just short 1 month deadline, short modules. That's something new. Instead of for custom content builders, it's more for module builders. That one's getting started like the 4th of February, I think. And then, yeah, keep checking out the new custom content. Give us built module builders and custom content makers your opinion on the vault. We still like that feedback. I say that because I got one thing really close to getting Hall of Fame. I'm like, you guys like that? Oh, maybe, but it's really hard to use because that one takes scripting. Okay. Well, let me know what you think of all the other stuff I've put out there. Oh, and if you like my stuff, why don't you go look what other people have made? There's a ton of stuff out there that's even better than my stuff. Yeah, just check the stuff out. Let us know what you think. Play the modules. They're great stories. So, yeah, have fun.
Yeah, tons of stuff out there. Definitely, you know, if you're listening to this and, you know, you checked out the Amethyst Dragon's work, you know, make sure that you, you know, put a good old 10 spot in on the IGN vault, you know. Anything.
Oh, no, I don't need 10s. I don't necessarily need vaults, but I like the feedback, and other builders do too. Let them know what you think.
Well, hopefully it's a 10, right? I mean,
well, you always hope for that, but you know what?
Right.
The feedback is the biggest thing. It lets people know your real thoughts on it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely give your thoughts and your feedback, because that's the only way we can, you know, as a community, whether we're doing Neverending Nights, whether we're doing Realms of Trinity, or, you know, World of Aenea. You know, you got to get that feedback. I mean, you got to get that juice so that you know, hey, people are liking what we're doing, and how we can better create content that is suited for you, you know, as a player. Because, I mean, it is a personal environment at the end of the day. Yeah, you can't please everybody all the time, but you certainly can, you know, take common themes and start, you know, strabbling stuff together that, you know, can make your persistent world or your modules building in the future better.
Yeah, and throw ideas out there too. You never know when some builder might come along and go, hey, this guy keeps talking about rainbow-colored snails. By the way, those are on the vault now too.
I've seen that. Oh, I've seen it.
Rolo does some role-playing in his posts, and his pet raven keeps talking about these snails, so I thought it'd be funny to make snail shells one day.
Yep.
It's just leading up to my experimentation. I'm going to try to make a flail snail.
Oh, my God.
It's a rat. No, it isn't.
No.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have that one out by April 1st.
we'll be waiting, and we'll cover it. Don't you worry. And Thomas, how about you? Any final thoughts before we close up?
No, the only thing I would say is, since you've mentioned your persistent world and you've been running it for 6.5 years, in case someone doesn't know how to get to it, how would you access it?
I would... you could search NWN space PW on Google, and it may actually be one of the top ones up there. Probably because I got a lot of content on there and it keeps referencing the game.
Perfect.
But just look up Aenea, A-E-N-E-A, and Neverwinter Nights, and you should be able to find us.
There we go. That's all I want.
The website, I've got, you know, link to GOG, link to hack installation, all that good stuff. So
yep, and I just confirmed you were number one on the list on that, on those keywords. So
cha-ching, bada bing.
Yep, there you go.
I think it's just because my website actually has all sorts of stuff on there, so,
which is good, you know. Which is the way to do it.
Well, that's what you get for having a, you know, self-taught web designer going, hey, I need a website of my own.
Yeah, absolutely. Every bit of advantage you can to get your stuff out there visible is totally legitimate.
It's not so much the visibility, it's because, you know, people go, oh, what is this? Well, there's a lot of changes in mind. Here's a taste of some of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you want to make sure your stuff's, you know, you're communicating exactly what's going on, and, you know, people can stay up to date, you know, with all the work that you're doing. One simple place to go, and that makes it a lot better.
And there's only so much you can actually do with a forum, too, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, forums are, yeah, they're kind of getting to that point where, yeah. In the world of
Facebook, it's hard to organize everything into categories and subcategories without some solid structure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to give you the closing line.
Oh, thanks. Well, then, yep. Get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.